Thank you very much, Cheryl. And thank you, Nirmala, for being here. I really enjoyed listening to you. I missed you the last 2 weeks, I think. I need to go back and listen to the audios. I thought that I might be able to listen on the radio while driving, but it didn't work out that way. But it was really nice to come back and listen today. And it's really good to be back here, back at Awakening Together after 2 weeks away. Today, we're here right now for the Guiding Light, and right now in the Guiding Light, we are going through the book of NTI 1 Corinthians, which is really asking us to become the empty shell, which really means to let go of our identifications, our attachments, our beliefs, etc., etc. So, today we'll begin on NTI, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, which is on page 301. But before we do that, I am going to play a song. And this song might be familiar to a few of you. Maybe, maybe, maybe. It depends on if you jumped right up today and went to the Gentle Healing Music 3 list today, which I did. I listened to the Adyashanti meditation this morning, and I listened to the music twice this morning. So if you, you know, jumped right up and dove right in to the homework that was assigned last night, you might know this song. If not, that's okay. You still have 6 days. But this song is called, it's by an artist named Lauren Daigle, and it's called Trust in You. So why don't we have a listen?
Letting go of every single dream, I lay each one down at your feet. Every moment of my wandering never changes what you see. I've tried to win this war, I confess. My hands are weary, I need your rest. Mighty warrior, king of the fight, no matter what I face, you're by my side. When you
I wish I could walk.
that song, if you listen to it carefully, is clearly a Christian song. It's sung from a Christian point of view. But what I love about the song is how in the song she's saying, basically, if you don't give me what I think I need, if you don't give me what I think I want, I'm still going to trust in you. And it's that unconditional trust, right? It's like the unconditional happiness. It's like the unconditional loving all method, right? It's all the same thing. It's that unconditional that makes it so powerful. And in NTI 1 Corinthians, when we are asked to become the empty shell, we're asked to let go of everything but trust. And that would be that unconditional trust, right? So I really enjoy that song. All right, so as I mentioned, we're going to start looking at NTI 1 Corinthians chapter 12, which is on page 301 for anybody who enjoys reading along. Hold on, I just dusted, so I got to move a few things around. I finally dusted my office, can you believe it? So now, at least temporarily, it's dust-free, but you know how dust is, it will come back. But all right, here we go. Judgment is the tool of illusion. So as long as you desire illusion, judgment is a tool you will hold dear. If you do not want illusion, do not work with this tool. For as you work with it, you build the illusion you think you want, but do not want. I'm going to keep reading because I know where this is pointing, and I'm pretty sure it's going to come up in the text. So I'm just going to keep reading. I'm going to read this entire little section, and then we'll come back and look at it because it's very specific here as to what the word judgment means. So let's keep reading. Watch your mind for the subtle judgments that you make. Watch your mind for its wishes. For each wish signals a judgment that has been made. For wherever there is a wish, there has been a judgment. Oh, my laundry wants my attention. And wherever there has been a judgment, there has been a wish. Illusion is a trick you have made on yourself because you wanted the experience to be real. You judged that you wanted something different. You wished for something different. Then you judged it had been made real. In this way, everything you made for yourself. The experience you made is your experience now because you continue to make it so. It is now that matters because it is now that makes now. So your subtle judgments must be seen. So when this is referring to judgments, you know, it's interesting because, you know, we were just listening to Nirmala. And Nirmala talked a little bit about judgment and how, you know, how sometimes it's wise to pay attention to judgments. And he gave the example of, you know, if you go out and you look at your car and there's a flat tire, you know, that's not really good for the car, right, to go driving on a flat tire, and it's good to recognize that. Otherwise, you're going to jump in and go driving on a flat tire and ruin your wheel, you know. So in that way, these type of judgments, it's also good to recognize that pain in the body sometimes means, you know, you need to go to the doctor, right? Or maybe you need to start doing something differently. You know, like the old joke, it hurts when I stretch my arm like this, and the doctor says, well, quit stretching your arm like that. You know, so there's a common sense type of judgment that you could say, you know, we use in the world. It's a part of being in the world. It's a part of how the human animal, you know, gets by in the world. So when NTI is saying judgment is the tool of illusion, so as long as you desire illusion, judgment is a tool you will hold dear, it's not talking about the noticing that when your tire is flat, you need to change the tire before you drive on the vehicle. Or it's not talking about the noticing that there's a pain here that's not at all normal for the body, and maybe it's a good idea to go to the doctor and find out what this is signaling, right? It's not talking about that kind of judgment. It's very, very specific, and that it's talking about when you want something to be different than it is. That's the kind of judgment that NTI is teaching is the tool of illusion. We could call it non-acceptance. We could call it the opposite of the loving all method. Wanting something to be different than it is. So an example of the type of judgment that that NTI is talking about would be to walk out, you know, out into your garage or out into your driveway, you see the flat tire, and then you get all upset and wish there wasn't a flat tire. And if you really pay attention to that, you can see why that is taking you into, you know, an illusion. Because you're wishing there wasn't a flat tire when there is a flat tire. You aren't facing reality, right? So these types of judgments just build illusions. They build fantasies in the mind, the emotions that we experience that come from them. If you get all upset and all frustrated or feel all guilty because your tire's flat and now you're going to be late, you know, you're putting yourself through this entire illusory scenario that you don't need to put yourself through. And it all began with the judgment that something should be different than it is. And in fact, many of you have read NTI Romans chapter 2, and NTI Romans chapter 2 says that this wish that everything was different than it is, that that wish is the beginning of all illusion, including the beginning of us experiencing ourselves as individual, separated people who are born and then going to die, rather than experiencing our eternal nature, our truth, our self as spirit, or our self as awareness, or our self as life, right? We experience ourself and everyone else and everything else different than it actually is because of the wish that it was different than it is, right? So this wish is the tool of illusion. That's what NTI is saying. This wish that things were different than they are is the tool of illusion. And if you keep wanting to experience illusion, you're going to keep making that wish, right? It's kind of funny. I mean, you know, right now, as I said here, I can't even think of a single reason why we'd want to do that. You know, I guess the reason we want to do that, I guess the reason that we want to do that is because we think we know better about how to make ourselves happy. I think that's probably the answer. We think that if everything would go the way that we say it should, each one of us has a separate I, right? So if everything in the world would go the way I think it should, then I can be happy. And I know better than anyone else. That idea seems to be embedded in the mind. It seems to be embedded in the mind. And what's really interesting about that idea, in fact, I remember as a child, I remember my dad basically saying that to me. He would say kind of half jokingly, but I always knew that there was a seriousness in it too. Like he really thought it was true. He would say that if everybody would just, you know, live the way he told them to, there wouldn't be any problems. And I suppose to some degree there's a truth to that. Like if everybody did exactly what my dad said, there would be no conflict, but we'd all be little robots. So what's interesting is my dad, you know, with his particular value system, believes that if everybody would just do things, you know, the way he thinks they should be done, that we'd all be perfectly happy. Well, obviously, other people with completely different value systems think the same thing, right? They think that if everybody would do exactly what they think we should do, that the world would be a better place, that we'd all be happy. I was in Texas. Louisiana, Missouri, and Kansas over the last 2 weeks, which is really, you know, the Bible Belt. And I don't remember exactly where I was having this experience. Somewhere I was around some Christian people. And right this second, I can't pull it completely out of my mind to get real firm on the story. But what I remember was how certain they were that they were absolutely right. You know, that their religion, their point of view regarding Jesus and God and the world was absolutely right, and that anyone else who saw things differently was mistaken, but worse than that, you know, was going to suffer because you didn't know the truth, right? To some degree, we all have that in our minds. You know, many people in our spirituality, you know, until they get over it, which everybody does at some point if they follow our spirituality, because our spirituality allows everyone to be as they are, right? But many people, before they get to that point where they're ready to allow other people to be as they are, they have that same zealousness. They want, you know, if they start with the Course, they want other people to read the Course. Or if they start with NTI, they want other people to read NTI. Or if they watch Muji, they want other people to watch Muji. It's still that thought. It's still that thought that if everybody thought like me, if everybody did the same thing as me, right, if everybody had my values, the world would be a better place. Everybody would be happier, right? So we all walk around with different value systems with that same idea. So it's clear, if you really look at it objectively, it's clear that idea is an illusion. That idea that if everything in the world happened the way I want it to happen, the world would be a better place. That idea is an illusion. And so every time that we believe that idea, and, you know, one time, probably when I was writing NTI 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is my guess. That's really my guess, because when I wrote NTI, I really contemplated the teachings. I would spend all day contemplating the page that came that day. Usually, the way it's printed up in NTI, on average, about a page and a half came per day. And so probably on the day that I wrote NTI 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and I was really contemplating that, that's probably when I entered into this noticing. I don't know if it really happened as a conscious effort or if it just kind of happened. But what I remember is going through a couple of days of my life back there in North Carolina where I just kept noticing how many times a day I wish things were different. You know, and it was just incredible. I mean, it was like, it felt like it was the primary thought in my mind. You know, and in fact, I even remember most specifically on that day, probably because this is the story I told, and I tend to remember my own stories better than the actual experiences. But I remember going to Walmart during this period of time and grabbing a shopping cart, and the shopping cart had one of those wheels that didn't turn real well and kind of wiggled, and it was hard to push. And I just noticed I wished the shopping cart wasn't that way. Now the funny thing is, and this is important to look at, I was much more immature spiritually then. So what I thought was I was guilty for having that wish. So I kept the shopping cart that was hard to push, and I felt guilty for wishing that shopping cart did not have a bad wheel on it. You know, I didn't have to do that. Let's go back and look at the Loving All Method, for those of you who are practicing the Loving All Method, and let's look at how I could have handled the exact same situation without the wish that it be different, which is the cause of illusion. Right? So I get the shopping cart, and I start pushing the shopping cart. I notice the shopping cart is hard to push because the wheels kind of messed up and going in all directions, right? I accept that this shopping cart is hard to push. I realize I would like to push a simpler shopping cart, and I put that shopping cart back, and I get another shopping cart. You see, I didn't have to wish that shopping cart didn't have a wheel that wiggled. You see, that was the illusion. That shopping cart did have a wheel that wiggled, right? But I could just put it back and grab another shopping cart that didn't. You see? So what we don't understand until we see it is the pain that we create for ourselves, and sometimes, you know, we share that pain with others, right? By wishing things were different than they are. And again, the Loving All method, which we're currently practicing through the Gentle Healing Group, that's kind of the antidote to this wish that we have in our mind that we keep making over and over and over again. Instead of wishing things are different than they are, we love things as they are. I love the fact that this shopping cart, you know, it has this wheel that is wiggle, 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 wiggling, you know, and I love the fact that that I can just put it back and get another shopping cart. Doesn't that sound like something Byron Katie would say? You know, I just love the fact that I can just put it back and get another shopping cart. You know, I love that. And if it was the last shopping cart, you know, I suppose she would love pushing the shopping cart with the wheel and noticing, you know, maybe her muscles are getting a little stronger in her arms as she's struggling with the shopping cart. But if we go back to NTI, NTI is telling us that this judgment that we make habitually over and over and over again in a given day, I wish things were different than they were, that judgment is the cause of all illusion. Now let me pause for another moment and share something else. Something else I've been sharing with you all lately through the tips that I am writing for the Gentle Healing Group is that happiness is our natural state. Happiness, joy, love, gratitude. You know, when you put all of these together, it's often called bliss, or sometimes it's called ecstasy. This is our natural state. Peace is a part of it, right? Peace. This is our natural state. And again, in NTI Romans chapter 2, it says that we wished everything would be different than it is. So we wished for an experience that was different than happiness, love, peace, gratitude, right? So when I go out into the garage and I see that the tire is flat and I wish it wasn't flat, you know, I wish this wasn't happening because now I'm going to be late to wherever I'm going and I wish I wasn't going to be late, what do I create within myself? Something other than happiness, peace, love, gratitude. Would you agree? And that's something else that I create within myself, that emotional experience that I get to have because I have chosen to wish that it was different than it is an illusion. It's not the truth of what I am. It's a temporary experience created by a judgment. And so this is what NTI is telling us. Instead of experiencing our natural self, we get to experience these illusions, something that is different than our natural self, every time we wish something was different than it is. It's actually quite simple to understand. In fact, if you hadn't heard this before, you know, if you're taking this in, you'll probably notice yourself doing it later today. You'll see it. You'll go, ah. Oh, there it is. You know, I just wished, that I'd had milk in the refrigerator and I didn't. I went to cook thinking I had milk and I didn't have milk and I just wished it was different than it was and I felt, you know, a little ticked off. Look at how that worked. I got to have an experience different than my truth. So NTI says, judgment is the tool of illusion. So as long as you desire illusion, desire things my way being this one individual person, judgment is the tool of illusion. So as long as you desire illusion, judgment is a tool you will hold dear. As long as you think that my way is the best way for me to be happy, then you'll continue to wish things were different whenever they're not my way. But the funny thing is, what you'll experience isn't happiness. Think about it. Think about how crazy that is for a minute. The reason we're wishing it was different is because we think that if everything went my way, I'd be happy. But the act of wishing it was different is creating at least a small annoyance, a small frustration, right? A small being ticked off, something that is not happiness. Which means we're completely wrong about how to be happy. Judgment is the tool of illusion. So as long as you desire illusion, judgment is a tool you will hold dear. If you do not want illusion, do not work with this tool. If you do not want illusion, do not work with this tool. Right? Because every time you wish something was different, you're going to get an illusory experience. Something other than your natural self. So if what you want to experience is your natural self, just be happy with things the way they are. Practice the loving all method. Live the loving all method, right? That's what this is saying. If you do not want illusion, do not work with this tool, this wish that things were different. For as you work with it, you build the illusion you think you want but do not want. And we just proved that. We just proved that you think you want it because you think it will make you happy, but the act of wishing it was different is making you not happy, right? And that's what NTI is saying. If you do not want illusion, do not work with this tool. For as you work with it, you build the illusion you think you want, but do not want. Because what you really want is to be happy. And that's not what's happening whenever you wish something is different. Watch your mind for the subtle judgments that you make. Watch your mind for its wishes. For each wish signals a judgment has been made. For wherever there is a wish, there has been a judgment. And wherever there has been a judgment, there has been a wish. So in this case, the wish and the judgment are the same thing. They're synonymous, right? It's that wish that things are different. So watch your mind for these subtle judgments, it says. Watch your mind for these subtle wishes. And not only that, what I would recommend is notice that when you are wishing something was different, look at the emotional experience that you're having and notice it's not bliss. Notice that it, you know, whenever you're wishing, you know, I wish my husband was different than he was. I wish my children were different than they were. I wish our financial situation was different than it was, right? I wish the weather was different than it was, right? Whenever that's happening, notice that in that instant when you're really believing the wish, you're not experiencing happiness, love, peace, gratitude. You're experiencing something different. Now, if you're spiritually mature, I'll tell you what might happen, and this is pretty good. If you're spiritually mature, the moment you notice the wish, you might let go of it. Because when you get spiritually mature, just looking lets go. It's like, it's almost like things are slippery. You know, they're slippery, and they can only, you know, only stick if there's no awareness. But any awareness at all, things slip away. They disappear. They die. So that means if you're wishing the weather was different and you're spiritually mature and you just in the noticing of the wish, then the wish dies. It's no longer there. So you won't have a sustained emotional experience. You'll be happy. You know, you'll be happy because you noticed the wish. It slid away very quickly. It ceased to be a wish, and therefore the happiness is present, the happiness that is the nature. But if you aren't as mature, if letting go doesn't happen that easily for you yet, then you will have the opportunity to notice the emotional experience that happens when you are wishing things were different. So So watch your mind for the subtle judgments that you make. Watch your mind for its wishes. For each wish signals a judgment has been made. For wherever there is a wish, there has been a judgment, and wherever there has been a judgment, there has been a wish. Illusion is a trick you have made on yourself because you wanted the experience to be real. You judged that you wanted something different. You wished for something different. Then you judged it had been made real. In this way, everything you made for yourself. What this is doing is this is pointing back to NTI Romans chapter 2. This is making a connection with NTI Romans chapter 2 so that the reader will see that metaphysically, you know, metaphysically, this wish that things were different is really the cause of the entire illusory experience that we call the world or the universe. So this is a, you know, when we experience this wish as humans, you could say what we're really experiencing is the echo of this metaphysical idea. The experience you made is your experience now because you continue to make it so. It is now that matters because it is now that makes now. So your subtle judgments must be seen. So what this is saying is, even though, you know, we're talking about a metaphysical wish, that the way the story is told, because stories are told in time, that the way the story is told, this metaphysical wish that things were different than they are happened once upon a time, you know, it was the beginning of the world experience. It's saying even though that's in there, that's not really where the problem exists. The problem that keeps you locked in illusion right now rather than awakening to truth is the fact that right now you continue to believe those echoes. Again, the ideas that come into your mind that things should be different than they are, that the weather should be different than they are, that the dog should be different than it is, that the, you know, the state of how clean the house is or isn't should be different than it is. That buzzer, I don't know if you guys can hear the buzzer, the buzzer that keeps going off should not be buzzing, right? It should be different than it is. Says that, oh, you can't hear the buzzer? Okay. I forgot to get the laundry out before I started because I was listening to Nirmala, and so it was supposed to come out like just about 10 minutes before I started, so now there's a really loud buzz trying to remind me to come upstairs and get the laundry. But the wish that it was different is actually an echo. It's an echo of previous believing that something should be different, right? And we know how this works. I mean, we've talked about the loop of experience, what I think, I see, what I see, what I experience, I think. So we know that these thoughts that come into the mind, like I wish it was different, we know these are echoes of previous believing. And so that's what this is saying. This is an echo that began with the beginning of the illusion. Right? This is an echo that began with a metaphysical thought. However, the fact that it was a metaphysical thought has no meaning now. What has meaning now is, are we believing it when it comes up in what appears to be the everyday? Because every time that thought comes around and we believe it again, we keep the illusory experience alive. If we would learn to let go of the wish that things were different, we would be letting go of the illusory experience, which means we would awaken to our true nature. Now connect that to the power of the Loving All method. Any of you all who are reading the Loving All method, and maybe for those of you who don't know what it is, I'll go get a link in just a moment and bring it back here for you. But I think most of you do know what the Loving All Method is. So any of you who are reading the Loving All Method right now and beginning to practice the Loving All Method, then you know that the Loving All Method is the exact opposite of wishing things were different. Because the Loving All Method says in it over and over and over again to love things as they are. You know, if somebody says something nice to you, love what they say exactly as they said it. If somebody says something mean to you, love what they say, exactly the way they said it, right? Love your thoughts exactly the way they are. If you have a thought that you perceive as a good thought, love that thought exactly the way it is. But if you have a thought that you perceive as a bad thought, love that thought exactly the way it is. It just goes on and on and on like that. See how it's the correction to the tool that we're reading about right now, the tool of illusion, which is wishing things were different. Let me just pop over here and pick up the link to the Loving All Method for anybody who may be listening and doesn't know what it is. And I'll try to remember to post it with the audio today too, because I know even more people listen to the audio than actually come in here and join us live. All right, so fortunately, I signed in as an admin today, so I can post the link. So there's the link to the Loving All Method. If there's anybody that's here listening to this and you don't know what the Loving All Method is, I highly recommend it. So there's the link to the Loving All Method. But again, anybody who's practicing the Loving All Method, you can see how it's a correction to what NTI is teaching us about right now. And this last paragraph says, the experience you made is your experience now, meaning non-truth, right? Illusion. The experience you made is your experience now because you continue to make it so. It is now that matters because it is now that makes now. So your subtle judgments must be seen, right? If you just continue to wish everything was different than it is, you're going to continue to believe in your false self rather than having the experience of your true self. I'm moving on to the next paragraph. This is why I ask you to see the world as one song or as a script. It is so you will not break it into parts to judge. One song is a whole, perfect at its finish. One script cannot be broken apart. Now, the idea of the one song comes from NTI Luke. So this is pointing back to NTI Luke. And the idea of one script comes from NTI Acts. So it's pointing back to NTI Acts. And what it's saying is, if you can see the whole as one thing, all working together for good, or all working together for awakening, right, then it's going to be a lot easier for you not to judge individual things that happen. You know, for example, right now, one thing that a lot of people are judging, in fact, more people every day based on what the news is saying, is our current president, Donald Trump. Right, people are judging our current president as maybe not being qualified. What was it I heard today? What did they call him today? Unpredictable. They compared him to, like an iPhone is very predictable. You know how it's going to behave. But then there's these Samsung Galaxies that are blowing up, and they compared him to the Samsung Galaxy. So, you know, a lot of people right now are kind of judging our current president. Well, what this is saying is if you trust that everything is happening together as a whole in order to awaken everyone to the truth and that every little detail is absolutely perfect, well, then it's possible you will not be tempted to wish we had a different president than the one we have or that he acted differently than he does. You may be able to accept Donald Trump the way he is, everything he says, every decision he makes, because you have the trust that everything is playing out for the awakening of the entire universe. And in fact, that kind of goes back to the song that I played at the beginning, because in that song, she was saying, if you don't move the mountains that I think you should move, I'm still going to trust you. Right? You know, things don't need to be my way. Things don't need to happen according to my values. I'm not going to sink to wishing things are different. I'm going to stay at the higher vibrational level with the loving all method, with unconditional happiness, with unconditional trust. That's what that song was all about. And that's what we're being asked to do here. And again, if we see everything as one song or one script moving in one direction for one purpose, awakening, then it's going to be a lot easier for us to accept things than if we start breaking them apart, you know, and saying, well, that shouldn't have happened. That wasn't good. That should have happened. That was, but that one shouldn't. That one wasn't. And, you know, instead of breaking it apart, see it as a whole, moving in the same direction exactly as it is. And that will help us to let go of this judgment. So this is why I ask you to see the world as one song or as a script. It is so you will not break it into parts to judge. One song is a whole, perfect at its finish, right? When the awakening happens, you see, that was perfect. Everybody awoke through that, through the way the world played out. One script cannot be broken apart. When you look at your brothers, you see separate parts. But this must mean that you are not looking with me. For I do not see separate parts of one thing. When I look, I only see the whole, right? So again, look at everything as one song. Everything as one script. Everything is happening in the way that it's happening for the awakening of the universe. When you look with me, there is nothing to judge. For everything works for the healing of one mind. There is no error and there is no mistake. There isn't one single flaw. There is only a mind listening to itself and recognizing which self is true. It is an awakening, a growing recognition. And it is perfect in every way. When you look on the world and seem to see differences, remember you are not looking with me. Surrender your sight because you do not want it now. Do not judge what you see or you accept it as real. And you hold on to the experience of illusion. You must release it by not judging it through trusting it is not real. See only that it is not your desire. Let it pass upward out of your shell, freeing your mind of its trick. And then it says, flee with me, and you know you are free. Flee with me is kind of interesting. It seems to me, you know, memories can be all screwed up, so if I'm not telling the truth, please forgive me, because I'm going by memory. But it seems to me that when two ladies came to my house to help me validate NTI, and again, the reason we validated NTI is because when I was writing NTI, scribing it, there were some times that I had great resistance to what I was hearing. And so sometimes I would scratch out what I heard, you know, change something so that I could feel more comfortable with it. Well, after I finished writing NTI, and I'd written everything in a notebook, when I finished writing NTI, I received guidance to invite two other people to my house, and those two people, it was made clear who they were going to be within half an hour of receiving the guidance. Two people wrote to me and asked if they could come to my house. That's how it became clear. I was asked to invite two other people to my house and have them sit with me and watch me go through everything in NTI and return it to what was written in the notebook before I did any editing. And fortunately, when I had scratched things out, you know, we could still see through the scratches. We could see what was there. So the way we did that was I sat at the computer. One woman sat with the typed up NTI, which would have included my edits. And then another woman sat with my notebooks where I'd handwritten things. And the woman with the typed up page would read from the page, and whenever there was something different in the notebooks than was in the page, the woman with the notebooks would stop her, and right there at the keyboard, I would change it back to what was in the notebooks. So in that way, the NTI that was published is exactly what I heard without my edits, without my fear. Isn't that nice? But here's what my memory says. My memory says that when we got to this page and it said, "Flee with me and you know you are free," this is the one place where one of those two ladies wanted to change it, even though that is what was in the notebooks. She said she didn't think Holy Spirit would say, "Flee with me." That I must have heard that wrong. And yet that's exactly the way it was written down in the notebook. There was no scratching out or changing of it, so we left it as it is. So I look at this now. I look at this "flee with me." Well, first of all, the first thing I notice, even before I finish reading it, is I notice the word "flee" looks a lot like the word "free." And in fact, it says, "Flee with me and know you are free." So I'm guessing that's not an accident, that the word "flee" looks a lot like "free." But if we look up at the last sentences, it's telling us to see only that it is not our desire to hold on to judgment. Let any judgment that occurs pass upward out of the shell, freeing our mind of its trick. And then it says, "Flee with me." Flee with me. I think it's just told us how to flee. Flee here doesn't mean be afraid. It doesn't mean judge everything as very, very bad and somehow we have to escape this world. You know, you often hear people talking about how they just want to get out of this world. It doesn't mean that. It can't mean that in the context of what we just read. Flee with me has to mean free yourself of illusion by letting go of your own habit of judgment. Flee with me. Be free with me. That's what this means. Flee with me and know you are free. Flee with me by letting go of your wishes for things to be different. And, you know, sometimes that may seem easy. You know, like if I look outside right now, and the weather has been kind of funky lately. You know, the last week or so, you know, everywhere I've been, the weather has been very funky, not the weather that people expect for late April and early May. And today is the same. You know, here we have almost blue skies, just not a cloud in the sky almost every day, and there's a lot of gray clouds out there, and it's cool, you know. So it's a little funky. So if I was to look outside and say, "Gosh, I wish the weather was different," and then remember this teaching, right? It's pretty easy to change my mind about that. That's not a big deal. Like, okay, never mind. I can love the day as it is, at least for me. That's pretty easy to change. But sometimes what we're going to find is that we're more identified with something, and it's not so easy to let go of our wish it was different. You know, one example again for parents is when something in our mind has gone very, very wrong with our child. You know, our child is a drug addict. Our child is a female in an abusive relationship and won't leave. Our child has cancer and is dying, right? Most parents have great challenges with the suffering of their children. And so it may not be easy to let go of the wish that it was different. You know, if your daughter is in an abusive relationship, you may wish she wasn't. You know, if your son is a drug addict, you may wish he wasn't. So what's really important about the end of this is it tells us how, when those situations are more challenging, how to flee with me and be free. It says to let it pass upward out of your shell. This is something that NTI 1 Corinthians taught in more detail earlier, so it's just pointing back to something it already taught. But this is what we call, traditionally here, rest, accept, and trust. And it's what the loving all method calls emotionally allow. In other words, if I'm really fearful for my child because of something she or he is going through, this is asking me to, and here's how I would do it. Some of you all may do it in a different way, but if it was really something extreme, this is asking me to be still, close my eyes, look at how I feel, look at my fear, my anger, my hurt, be with it, rest the mind from the stories, accept how I feel, emotionally allow how I feel, do not wish that I felt differently, right? Be with how I feel about it and trust that is healing me. In fact, as I mentioned last night, this is one of the things I really like about the Loving All Method. I really, you know, the Loving All Method is in a way not unique, although that particular title is unique. You can find the similar type of teaching in many places, such as in Michael Singer's book, The Untethered Soul. It's chapter 15, The Commitment to Happiness. In NTI, actually, in NTI Romans, it's taught as accepting everything as it is. Adyashanti teaches it as allowing everything to be as it is in a very deep way. It's really all the same teaching. It happens over and over and over again because it's a truly powerful healing practice that you can practice all of the time. There's never a time or a place where you can't practice it. But what I like about the Loving All Method, which is written down by Michael Langford, is how clear the practice is spelled out. How perfectly clear he spells that out. It's just, you know, it's just, if we really follow those directions, as he has written those directions, we're going to be really practicing this method that many, many people point to, but maybe with a little less detail on how to do it. And one thing I love about the Loving All Method is it has what I call three options. And with the three options, I always like to start at the highest option, but if the highest option is something I can't seem to do, then I go down to the next lowest option. So the highest option is to love everything exactly as it is. And I think that we should attempt to love everything exactly as it is. That's why it's called the Loving All Method. So I look outside, I see the gray clouds, the wind, the coolness, and I choose. I can choose just to love today exactly as it is. I can do that, right? But as I mentioned, sometimes it feels tougher because of our identification, because of our desired outcomes, because of our belief that we want things to be our way. And so, for example, let's say that I made an error in my taxes. I've done this before. It's been a few years since it happened. But let's say I made an error in my taxes. I wasn't aware. And, you know, 3 years later, you know, forgot all about those taxes that happened that many years ago. 3 years later, the IRS writes to me pointing out the error, and they want $5,000. And I can look at it, they're clearly right. I made a mistake, and I owe them $5,000. Now, actually, I can just laugh at that. That's not a big deal. But it is a bigger deal for some people. For some people, it's hard to love unexpectedly owing the IRS $5,000. Like, they're like, I just can't love that. So the next thing down, if you can't love that, the next thing down, the next option is you accept it. Can you accept that you owe the IRS $5,000? Yeah, I can accept it. You know, I mean, I see it right here in the letter. I see the mistake I made. Yeah, I can accept it, right? Well, that's good. So some things aren't as easy as the weather. They're a little more challenging, so maybe we don't feel like we can genuinely love them, so we accept them. But then some things are even tougher yet, you know, such as the examples I used with, you know, with children, you know, maybe a child being, well, if your child is drug addicted, it is helpful to accept that. But people have trouble with that. Or if your daughter is in an abusive relationship, you know, people have trouble with that. It's like, it's just not so easy to accept these complications in our children's lives. So you go down one more level and you emotionally allow your own feelings about the situation. I call the Loving All method the ladder of healing. And this ladder has three rungs on it. If you can reach for that top rung and hold and get up there, the loving it as it is, perfect. But if you can't, reach for the second rung and accept it as it is. And if you can't do that, at least emotionally allow your own feelings about the way it is. None of those three are wishing it was different. You see, all three options are correcting the error of wishing it was different. So that's what's perfect about the Loving All method. And that, again, is what this very last line is talking about when it says that, if you need to, like if you can't just, you know, be happy with it the way it is, it says, let it pass upward out of your shell. It's asking you to at least emotionally allow, at least rest, accept, and trust. And then flee with me, right? This is how you free yourself. You free yourself from illusion. You free yourself from suffering by accepting things as they are. Loving things as they are, or emotionally allowing your feelings about things as they are. Flee with me and know that you are free. So that's the end of NTI 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So it's been a lot of fun hanging out with you guys. And I am going to release the mic. Bye.